The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Media. You can also find us on Podcast One. You are listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, what's going on, my man?
Good morning, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You had a birthday this week, my man.
Did have a birthday. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. We're getting up there. Both of us were just talking right before recording that the years go by faster. It's a little depressing, but it's always nice to have that special day where you can pamper yourself, I suppose. And you did, and we're actually recording later in the week than usual, so sorry if everybody likes to listen to this episode on Wednesday. Obviously, it didn't drop on time, but you know, Brad and I are here, and we're going to be talking about NFC East today.
Great, great.
Yeah, NFC.
Entertaining division.
Always entertaining, and yeah. I grew up, you know, obviously a Redskins fan, and, you know, it's just a division. There was a string there, I think in the 80s and 90s, like, basically, the Redskins or the Giants or the Cowboys or the 49ers won the Super Bowl, and that was it.
Yeah, right. There was a streak, right?
Yeah, and I guess we're in that same similar streak. It's basically the Patriots and a handful of other teams now, but it's not quite the same because like it's all from the same division. You'll see the Patriots and the Bills and the Dolphins. It was like, you know, the NFC East, whoever was coming out of there was basically making the Super Bowl if they could get past Joe Montana, right. You know, and the Bill Walsh teams and all that. And Seifert, right? Seifert had, you know, yeah. Seifert was basically the first Barry Switzer. I'll say that, right? Like, you know, I don't know what coach wouldn't have won a Super Bowl with that team after right. Bill Walsh retired. But anyway, we're talking NFC East today. Just like last week, we're into our 2019 season previews. So we're going to be talking the over-under win totals, and we're going to be talking, you know, some things from a player and fantasy perspective. I also want to remind everybody that the 2019 Fantasy Football Almanac and draft guide is available on Amazon.com. It's doing quite well. And a reminder, if you have purchased or you're thinking about purchasing, I give full off-season updates. The first update went out last night. I slaved over that for weeks, basically, while I was trying to get through it, and it is out. So there you go. Yeah, man. So let's talk some NFC East. I always kind of just go alphabetical so that I don't have any bias coming into it. You know, we'll start with Dallas, and the over-under, the win total over-under, Brad, is 9 wins. What do you think?
You know what? I'm going to have to definitely go with the over. I think that they're going to be a pretty good team next year.
Yeah, I saw that. So these are fresh off the press, right? This is Bet Online. I pulled them just off this morning. And 9 wins, I was surprised by that. I thought there would at least be 9.5, 10 wins. And, you know, this team last year, I had some question marks. I mean, Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant was gone. Jason Witten had retired. And I was wondering where the targets were going to go. But once Amari Cooper got there, I think, you know, in the second half of that season, this team took off, didn't they?
They did. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they beat Seattle in the playoffs, did they not?
They did. They did. And actually, you and I both took Seattle to win in an upset. We still won the bet because I think it was a field goal and they lost by 2. So we had Seattle. We got the bet right. But I mean, Dallas, when you have a team that can play as good a defense as they play, and their defense is good. If anything, I think their defense is underrated because their offense is getting so much publicity.
Right.
They have a great offensive line. They have Ezekiel Elliott. They can run the ball and they can play defense. That's going to get you into basically into relevance in playoff time. I like this team, man. I do. I really do.
Yeah, I like them too. And, you know, getting back to that playoff win, you kind of know how these things work. You know, you have to like get into the playoffs and you have to win at least one big playoff game before you can kind of take that next step. And they checked that off the list. And I think that was huge for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And they won at home. And who was their second round? They must have played. It must have been either the Saints or the Rams. I can't remember who they would have played in the second round of those playoffs. But, you know, they just weren't really ready last year. I'm not convinced from an NFL point of view. So if we're just talking about pure NFL betting, I'm not convinced that Dak Prescott is that quarterback. I'm not convinced that he's that $30 million quarterback that he's going to end up being over the next couple of years here. But that said, man, like I was saying before, when Amari Cooper joined this team, you know, Dak Prescott had that guy to go to, and Cooper was great.
He was great, right?
And they don't really have a lot. You know, they added Randall Cobb in this offseason, Brad, who you're very familiar with being a Packers fan. You know,
right.
I don't know. Well, let me get your thoughts on Randall Cobb. I mean, do you think that he has anything left in the tank? You've seen him. You've watched him very closely over the last couple of years.
I think he's the type of guy that if you use him correctly, that he can be very effective. He has a very difficult time staying on the field, man. That guy was injured all the time. It was so frustrating. And the thing is even though he was great, Cobb was never one of my guys because I don't like short receivers. I just don't. You know, so if you can use him correctly as a slot guy, you know, think, you know, how they do in New England, I think he still can be effective. He's a gamer. He knows how to make a big play.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think he's, you know, I think he's at this point a scheme wide receiver. Like if you know, Garrett can scheme him open, or if they're, you know, the defenses are shifting coverage over to Amari Cooper and, you know, he can kind of run free in the middle of the field, I think he could have a couple of nice daily fantasy games for you. You know, he might be a decent spot start or something like that, but I don't see Randall Cobb being a number two in Dallas. I think that's going to be Michael Gallup, who we saw last year. He had a little bit of hype coming out of last year. He's a young guy. I think he had a fine enough season for rookie year. The interesting thing, though, Brad, is like I've been looking at the projections, as you know, because of the fantasy guide and all that stuff. He's not projected to do any better, basically, than his projections last year. Maybe an extra like two or three catches, maybe an extra, you know, 10 or 15 yards, but it's basically the same projections as last year. I think that would be a disappointment. Anytime like a second receiver who got a lot of playing time, a second year, I should say, receiver who got a lot of playing time, doesn't really expand on, I'm expecting like 20 more catches, like 300 more yards or something like that. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I think so, man.
Yeah.
You would have to assume that they're going to come out of the gate humming. I think they're going to be pretty strong.
Yeah, unless, you know, unless we'll see what happens in training camp. But exactly, assuming they have their full health going into the season, they're going to be a strong team because they can beat you. They can beat you multiple ways. They can beat you by shutting you down on defense. They can beat you by, you know, controlling the clock on offense. Right. Like I said, I don't know that Dak Prescott is the five touchdown a game guy, but he'll probably have a couple of five touchdown games this year. You know, he'll continue his upward trajectory, and I think he is, you know, moving upward. My struggle for Dallas in the future is once Dak gets that money, you know, the offensive line's going to suffer. We saw it in Seattle with Russell Wilson. You know, basically, it's going to take pieces away, and I think Dak needs pieces around him, as we saw last year. I mean, he was a different quarterback when Cooper showed up.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see it, but this year I do like, I like Dallas to get 10 or 11 wins. I think, Brad, we talked about this, man. The NFC is loaded this year.
Loaded, big time.
They could win 10 games and not make the playoffs. I mean, loaded.
For sure. Big name quarterbacks, great teams, you know, over half of them could all equally win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It is very competitive.
Yeah, I don't remember a time where a conference has been this good and this wide open. Like, usually when there's a bad conference, you know, you're like, anybody could win it because there's nobody that good. There's just a lot of good teams. Like, just reeling them off the top of my head, I think we talked about this a couple years ago, or a couple weeks ago. We have Dallas, that's good. We have Philadelphia, who we'll talk about in a bit. You have Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago in the north. Yeah. You have New Orleans, and I'm a little bit higher than you are on Atlanta in the south.
Yep.
And then in the west, you have San Francisco is not going to be any slouch with Garoppolo back.
Yeah, not at all.
You have last year's Super Bowl team, the Rams, and then you have Seattle, man. That's like...
yep, I know.
Who's going to make the playoffs?
It's pretty intense.
Yeah,
pretty
man. Intense. I cannot wait. This is going to be a great NFL season. But what do you think about Jason Witten coming back?
You know, I think good for him. I mean, he's been around a long time, man. And I don't know how much gas he has left in the tank, but he's a great teammate. He's a great competitor. I think he could still perform. He could still have some good moments.
Yeah, I like his potential here. I mean, 2 years ago, he had a ton of targets. ton of targets. And then he retired and he went to take that Monday Night Football gig. Oh, gosh, the worst Monday Night Football as we've talked. Oh, my gosh, it was the worst.
Brutal.
And then, you know, they kept that team together outside of Witten. Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
I'm watching.
McFarlane.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch it on mute. I can't stand
that. That's terrible.
Oh, gosh, it's so bad. Anyway, and I, also we talked about this too. I mean, Booger McFarlane, they put him on this, like, this big crane and basically blocks, like, the vantage point for all these, you know, these 50-yard line right on the sideline seats. He's blocking their seats in Monday Night Football. It's got to be very frustrating if you're a
that'd
fan.
Be terrible.
Oh, I'd be so pissed off if I'm paying, you know, a couple $100 for a ticket and then I get Booger McFarlane in front of me on a damn crane running around. But anyway, let's see. Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's going to have a great year. For me, I think he's definitely probably a top three running back. He's super tier one for me. Dak Prescott, I think he'll get you value. I'm not really high on him. I think that, you know, I think he's a fantasy football backup, but a great, great daily fantasy play if you're into that, and I certainly am. Gallup, I think he's going to be better than projected. I don't think this is the year to pop on him in the draft, but I do think that if you're in a dynasty league, he'd be a good one to get because I think he'll do better in the future. Cooper, I love, and Cobb, we already talked about. Summer action is heating up in the beginning of July with a lot of excitement in the MLB, Women's World Cup, as we just saw, UFC, MLS, soccer, and much more. There is only one place that has you covered and one place you can trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code, it's podcast1, for your 50% welcome bonus. Look, that Women's World Cup was actually pretty good. The USA actually dominated defensively. They won their finals. I think I mentioned last week, but my brother was there. That's pretty cool. And we have the MLB. That All-Star game was awesome. The Home Run Derby was awesome. And I can't believe, you know, the second half is almost here. I think that's going to be great as well. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast1, or you can text BETNOW to the number 238669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. Again, that's BETNOW to the number 238669 to get started with your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla letting you know about my newest podcast, Going Racing. Me and Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, that is. We'll highlight the fastest cars. We'll talk about the best races and the best celebrities in motorsports. Subscribe now at Podcast One.
Brad, let's move it on to Philadelphia. Over under in terms of wins here, 9.5. So Vegas and the betting world, Bet Online, they like Philadelphia apparently to win the division. How do you feel about it?
You know, they've been pretty formidable for a few years, and typically, you know, a team, it's tough to stay up there for so long, you know? So just based on that fact alone, I think maybe they take a step back. I'm not a big Carson Wentz guy like everybody else is. I don't have high hopes for them this year.
Yeah, I was higher on Wentz last season about this time. And, you know, I know he had the knee injury at the end of the 2017 season. Coming into it, you know, I thought Wentz was, you know, I thought he'd already made the leap. And I think everybody else, just kind of like, almost like Derek Carr like 3 or 4 years ago. You remember, like, everybody thought he made the leap, and it's just like, whoa, what the hell's going
right.
on here?
Right.
You know, Wentz, we talked about this in the season review, you know, a couple months ago. Wentz actually, if you look at his numbers, had a nice season. But it just didn't feel like it did in 2017. Like, you know, the touchdowns right. weren't in big moments. Like, you know, in 2017, you watch the Eagles and you're like, oh, Wentz is going to come down and win this game. You didn't have that same vibe last year. It was almost like once Wentz went down and Foles took over, that's when you thought, okay, I got a big play moment quarterback. Maybe not better statistically than Wentz, but Foles will get it done. And so now Foles is in Jacksonville, obviously, and Wentz is there. And I think that was the right move. I'm not criticizing the move at all. But
right.
I just don't know what this team is going to be in the season. You know, they made...
yeah, I don't either, and I don't think they know.
Yeah, like the defense last year struggled a little bit. They kind of got it together at the end of the season. Maybe a little bit of Super Bowl hangover. I mean, that could have been it too. You know, getting bounced in the playoffs and what was a close game with, I believe, the Rams. So that means the Cowboys must have played the Saints, if I remember correctly. But okay. Yeah, you know what? Maybe the Eagles played the Saints, now that I think about it. But anyway, it was a close game. They got bounced. The Eagles very easily could have been in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, it was pretty razor thin there.
Right.
You know, I don't know. If you held me to a pick, and you know that's what this podcast is all about, I think Eagles 10-6, 11-5, just like Dallas. I like Dallas a little bit more. So let me say Dallas is 11-5, Eagles are 10-6. But that said, man, it wouldn't shock me if Wentz came out, was awesome, and they went 13-3. It also wouldn't shock me if they went 9-7. So I'd stay away from this one in the bet.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking over. So they made a couple of personnel moves. The, you know, the Eagles running back situation, it's from a fantasy point of view, man, it's like trying to keep track of the Patriots running back situation. They have like four of them on the roster. If you're a fantasy person,
I know. I like that one dude they have. I forget his. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. The guy that they drafted, I think, is what you're probably going to go to. This Miles Sanders guy, he's good, man. I like him. I think he's going to win the job. But Jordan Howard coming over from Chicago, like, you know, Jordan Howard, he just wasn't
a
fit.
That's good for them.
Yeah, and you know, he's a guy, you know, that can run between the tackles. And because he's coming over from Matt Nagy's system in Chicago, he has now automatic familiarity with Doug Peterson's system. They run a very similar system, all coming from the Andy Reid tree. That could be good. I still think Sanders has the higher ceiling there. So in my almanac, I'm projecting Sanders to be the starter. But, you know, if you're looking at all the other statistical projections, they like Howard quite a bit. I just don't agree with that. So I'm just trying to avoid this backfield as best as I can. This is more to me like a week to week daily fantasy type of backfield rather than a let me invest a draft pick in a guy and let him, you know, see him go. What about, Brad, DeSean Jackson coming back? What do you think about that?
Ooh, DeSean Jackson. Man, I love DeSean Jackson. He is something else. I think he's going to be great for them. Man, he's one of my favorites.
I do too. Like, I don't understand what happened in Tampa because we were watching earlier in the year, back when Fitzpatrick was wearing chains and you know, showing chest here in the press conferences. And DeSean Jackson was still getting behind defenses. Like, he's older.
He's still
creating, like, I'm talking yards of separation 50 yards downfield. He can still make it happen. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if maybe he had an attitude clash with Dirk Cutter. Who knows? But, you know, he kind of fell out of favor in Tampa Bay, and people are sleeping on him quite a bit. I think going back to Philadelphia, he's back, like I said, in that Andy Reid system. He's playing for Doug Peterson. He's going to be charged up because he loves Philadelphia. He always loved Philadelphia. You got on the other side, you have Alshon Jeffrey on the other side drawing coverage. Gosh, I think DeSean Jackson has a 1 to 2 year resurgence, man. I think he's going to have some serious relevance this year.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
I think it's going to be fun to watch, especially if you're an Eagles fan. I think he's going to, you know, be an over the top guy, just like he was in Washington. You know, I think maybe 6 to 7 touchdowns is a reasonable thing. You know, maybe 700 yards, and that's good enough for a roster spot, and that's certainly great daily fantasy. I'm going to be playing him early in the year in daily fantasy because his budget is going to be so low. Let me look. Zach Ertz, man, he's like 6'8", still catching passes.
Zach Ertz is phenomenal.
Zach Ertz is, you know, it's 1 and 1A at tight ends, him and Travis Kelce.
Right.
You can't go wrong with either one of these tight ends. My first issue of my almanac had Zach Ertz ranked number one. I did move Kelce up last night in the rankings updates, but you can't go wrong with either one of these guys. I mean, they're just awesome. They're going to produce. There's a little bit of buzz that this backup guy, Dallas Goedert in Philadelphia, will eat into Ertz's numbers. I just don't see it happening. You know, I think that's more... That's more hype to me than reality. No shade at Dallas, but Dallas Goedert. But you know, it's Zach Ertz, man. It's like
for sure.
Yeah, even when last year, even when Juju Smith-Schuster emerged in Philadelphia, I mean, it didn't really hurt Antonio Brown's numbers, not until Antonio Brown kind of went sideways. So,
right.
Yeah, even if somebody else is emerging in Philadelphia, Zach Ertz is still going to get his, so I think he can feel just fine. And then Wentz, you know, I have no choice but to basically slot him as a backup until proven otherwise.
Sure.
You know, he burned me personally last year in my rankings. I was much higher on him. I want to see him get back because, you know, do we have somebody that's going to return from injury and get back to the status or the stature that he was at? Or do we have somebody like Derek Carr who's going to, you know, take a little bit of a downward path? I don't know what that's going to be, and I want to wait and see, and I would suggest everybody else do that as well. All right, Brad, so let's see. We have the Giants now. 6 wins. I skipped over them alphabetically, but we'll go back to them. So 6 wins for the Giants, Brad. Over or under, who do you got?
Oh, my God, I got to go under. Have to go under.
Yeah, man, 6 wins I think is right on the number for me. That's a tough one. If I had to pick either way, I would go the under as well, only because I just don't like this team without Odell Beckham. You know, I've talked about it before.
I don't like this team. I don't care who they have, dude. If they have Eli Manning, they have nothing.
You know, Eli is a little bit, from a gambling point of view, is a little bit of a different quarterback with Beckham. But without him, he doesn't win a lot of games. And I love Saquon Barkley. I think you would agree, Brad. I mean, Saquon Barkley is as exciting of a player as we've had in the league in a long time.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't like it, man. Eli Manning I have at 30th in, you know, fantasy quarterbacks. Saquon Barkley I have in the top. I think Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey are probably, you know, trading blows for number one and number two in the league at fantasy. But who's going to catch the ball, man? You got Sterling Shepard there. You have Golden Tate coming in free agency. You have Corey Coleman, who's been kind of basically a retread, drafted early in Cleveland, went to Buffalo, landed with New York last year. Who's going to catch the ball?
Nobody.
Nobody, man. So I think
nobody.
It's
nobody. Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon, you're right. So Saquon's going to have like 90 catches and a ton of yards. He's going to produce. And I think when they get in the red zone, it's basically going to be Evan Ingram, who was lower on last year, was down on him last year, ended up being correct about that. I think Evan Ingram will resurge this year. I think he'll do well for the Giants. I think he'll get some red zone touches because I don't really see a lot happening in the offense. I think Rhett Ellison, the backup tight end there, will be a sneaky play. I think... Man, I think this team, I can't even call it a rebuild. They drafted the young quarterback. I think he's Daniel Jones. You know, we talked about that on this show, about how goofy kind of a pick that was and how kind of odd the reaction from the general manager was. Look, I like Pat Shurmur. You know, maybe the young quarterback will play at the end of the year and there'll be reason for optimism. I love Saquon Barkley. I like Evan Ingram. But this team, man, they need help at the receiver position. That's just it.
Oh, big time.
Big time. All right. Is there anything?
How's their defense?
Okay. You know, nothing to write home about. You know, it's not like Dallas or even Philadelphia's defense. And I would say even Washington's defense, who we'll talk about in a little bit, is significantly better, especially from a fantasy point of view. So... Oh man, I think it's gonna be a long year for the Giants, and I do think that they'll make that switch and they'll go to Daniel Jones because, you know, the reality is they're gonna have to. Pat Shurmur is gonna could be looking at like a 3-10 start and say, well, you know, I don't want to lose my job. Let's move it to the rookie.
Yeah, right.
I think it's gonna be tough. It's basically Saquon Barkley. How many games can he single handedly win for the Giants? And I don't think it's gonna be 7. I'll say that. So. There you go, 6 it is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yep. Interestingly, so Washington, we talked earlier in the year, Brad, moving it over to Washington. We talked earlier in the year about how I thought that the over-under for Washington was going to be low, and it was, and it's actually starting to move up a little bit now, interestingly. Mm. So I guess probably some early bettors were putting some money on them when they're moving the line. But Washington's win total over-under 6.5.
You know what? I think Washington is stronger than most do, so I'm gonna put them at 7, man. I'm gonna take the over.
You know, Washington is one of these teams. We talked about this too. They just always seem to do a little bit better than advertised. And
right, they do.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't call myself a fan of the Redskins anymore, so this truly is not biased. Like, I'm you know, my only bias is towards my betting slip. Believe me, everybody. I'm not going to tell you to bet Redskins over because I have any bias at all. If anything, I'm anti-Redskins. When I like things, Brad, I think you're the same way. When I like things, I have a little bit harsher, more pessimistic point of view on
them.
Sure,
so, sure, for sure.
You know, the Redskins, like, look, Jay Gruden, I think, is a really good coach. And what people don't really talk about with Washington, we do because I've seen it, is the last 2 years they've lost their entire offensive line to injury in the middle of the season. Last year with Alex Smith wasn't exactly setting the world on fire. Like, he wasn't turning the ball over. He was taking care of the ball, but he was a game manager. This was basically a ground and pound team with Adrian Peterson and play defense. But, you know, once the offensive line got hurt, their entire receiving core got hurt, Washington's. You know, Jordan Reed is getting a little bit older. I think he was healthier, but, you know, they didn't have any other weapons, so he was kind of being shut down. The defense started being on the field a little bit longer. So the team crumbled in the second half, but that wasn't necessarily because the team was bad. It was because they just were decimated by injuries. This team actually was in pole position halfway through the season before the Amari Cooper trade and all that, and then they faded, in my opinion, because of injuries, more because of injuries than because of talent and all that. This year, with the offensive line hopefully being healthy, if you're a Washington fan, you know, I think they can do well even with Case Keenum starting at quarterback, and some people are saying Dwayne Haskins, the rookie there, will start early. I don't think so. That's not really either Gruden, John, or Jay. That's not really their MO, is play the young guy. I think it's going to be Case Keenum. You know, Case Keenum, he's going to turn the ball over, but he's also going to push the ball downfield. I think that it'll probably be a net, you know, an equal, like an even Steven situation. You know, Alex Smith, he'll have more turnovers, but he'll have more downfield plays. You have Darius Geis coming back from injury and Adrian Peterson back, so their running game is going to be there. The receivers, I still have a lot of questions about them. Paul Richardson's basically their best guy. You have Doctson, who has never fulfilled his draft day position. He's never going to at this point, I don't think. They have a new guy there. You got Jordan Reed. I don't love the team, but I think 7 wins is doable, Brad. I think it's there.
I do too, for sure. I think 8 wins is there.
Yeah, and you know, people forget. I mean, this is a defense that was really good last year. They can get to the quarterback, and if you can get to the quarterback with 4, and you can throw in some exotic blitzes, you're going to be relevant. And we talked about this with Dallas, right? If you can play good defense, which the Washington can do, I don't think they're as good as Dallas's defense, but they can be, and they certainly were for part of the season last year. The offensive line, when healthy, I don't think is as good as Dallas, but, you know, they're underrated when they're healthy. They can run the ball. So, you know, in December, they're going to be a team that's, you know, that could go 3-1 in December and you know, break a lot of hearts. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. 7-8 wins, I am on the over on them. That is an unbiased over, even at that 6.5. We'll see. Now, if the Redskins go to Dwayne Haskins early, maybe not. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. Well, that was quick, man. From a fantasy point of view, like I said, I don't really like any of the Redskins. You know, I say that with a grain of salt. I do like, you know, Jordan Reed, I think, is at this point is a backup tight end. I think the Washington defense is actually a top 10 defense this year because of their ability to sack and turn the, you know, create turnovers. So there you go. They'll hold teams to low points. So, you know, they're a defense that if you're at the end of your draft, you're in a deeper league and you want a second defense, you know, nobody's going to draft them that high, but they could be a top 10 weekly start type defense. So they're worth a grab, you know, and a flyer on them if you're at the end of your rope there. What were the receivers? I just stay away from. If you want to draft one, Paul Richardson's your guy. And Darius Geis, we don't know because he got injured. You know, the press on him coming out of college wasn't great, but the press on him once he was in OTAs and everything last year was really high on Washington. So the hype train was already starting to go before he blew his knee out. So, you know, he's worth a flyer, and, you know, Adrian Peterson as well, I think, will have some value. So there you go. But there you go, Brad. I mean, do you have anything else since we're done with that? You want to talk about Kawhi real quick? Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers?
Yeah, I love Kawhi. I think he made the great, smart choice, and the West is just going to be so competitive.
Yeah,
it's just going to be absolutely incredible.
I saw the lines. So the Clippers moved up. I think they might be the number one team in terms of lines. The Lakers are up there now. I don't really love the Lakers roster composition.
I don't either.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. But, you know, the two bigs, it's basically they just basically built the New Orleans Pelicans of 2 years ago and added LeBron, which, you know, LeBron is a pretty big piece to add. So
sure, sure. Maybe the biggest, right?
Yeah, LeBron playing point guard is going to be interesting. You know, I look forward. I'm going to have Sam and I are going to delve into that in the Functional Sportsaholic, which I think we might actually be recording later today, but that'll be out this weekend. So if you're, you know, if you're interested in hearing Sam's take, you know, from the the basketball X's and O's point of view, we'll be talking about that. Kawhi and Paul George, that's interesting. Russell Wilson maybe going to Miami, that's interesting. So it's going to be an interesting summer in the NBA too, man. Like, there's still some stuff that's going to shift and shake out. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
All right. Going to be great.
Yep. So, yeah, hey, quick episode, but I think we hit all the points. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the NFL season, man.
Oh, my God. I'm counting the minutes.
I know. So next week, I think we're going to be talking about AFC North. Interesting division now. Pittsburgh, Baltimore with their kind of run first mentality. Cleveland, all the hype. And then Cincinnati, you know, I think they're behind the pack in terms of hype. But I don't think they're as bad as everybody's saying they are. So I look forward to getting into those over-unders. Brad, thanks for recording this morning. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. I'm at @TFS_Sean. I also have just basically started launching the YouTube channel. So if you're interested, you can catch us on YouTube now. Just search for Functional Sportsaholic. And, of course, we got the Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide, the 2019 version. Go to Amazon. Just search for Sean Ryan or Functional Sportsaholic or Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide. Thanks again to Bet Online. Thanks again, Brad. Everybody out. Go out, make some bets, get paid.